Tonight we're going to preach on Did Jesus Weep? And we're going to use the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus Wept. No, just joking. And so Lillian was teasing me about how long I preach, so I pulled out my sermon. I've got 42 points. Each point has 8 sub-points, and each sub-point has several paragraphs, and then I've got 9 tear-jerking illustrations and 2 personal illustrations. And so at 10 o'clock, you can thank Lillian for the... So anyways, you know what they always said, don't mess with the guy with the microphone. So anyways, we're going to read out of Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 27 and 28, Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word, and we'll read those two verses, Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Ready? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word as an instruction for our church and for our individual lives. And dear Heavenly Father, it's the instruction for how to be good parents. It's instruction on how to be a good spouse. And dear Heavenly Father, it's instructions on how to be a good church and a good soul winner and just everything that we need for life. We thank you so much that you gave us your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And for Lillian's sake, I might have everybody stay standing. So, Lillian, I'm sorry you drew attention to yourself. So, anyways, Paul already found out that wasn't a good idea. And anyways, last time I did Sunday school, I think I razzed him to no end. And so, anyways, usually I pick out a teenager, but the adults kind of focused. No, just joking. But anyways, tonight I want to talk. I want to preach tonight about the recipe for a growing church. The recipe for a growing church. Now, the Bible talks about only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, and that stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, everybody wants to be a part of a growing church. And, I'll be honest with you. Some people that have been in the one church their whole lives, you know, you just don't realize how well you have it sometimes. And until you go on vacation and then you go and visit a church, and then you're sitting back and you're like, man, this is nothing like my church. And you know, the thing about it is then, you know, traveling around, we traveled not so much into my later life growing up, but when I was younger, we traveled around to different churches, and then we'd always go to Montana and different other places and visit churches when we were on vacation and all that type of thing. And you realize how good your church is and how awesome it is. And I tell you what, you know, we at Calvary Baptist Church, we have it pretty awesome. And you know, here's the thing: is you travel around, and some churches are they're not really friendly. Our church is friendly. Some churches, you know, there's personality conflicts and there's just different things. And you know what? I'm so glad to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church. And but let me just I want to give you an encouraging message tonight on how to be a part of a growing church. And I'll be honest with you, Veterans Sunday was awesome. And you know, God really worked, and I believe God's working in our church. And I believe that there's exciting days ahead. And I'll be honest with you, it's from the prayers of our pastor and the leadership of our pastor. And you know what? Here's the thing: is I don't want to embarrass him at all, but I want us to realize what a great man of God we've got. And you know, here's the thing: is all you have to do is travel around America and realize what a great pastor we have, and a pastor that he's not perfect, but he loves God, and you know what? He loves the ministry, he loves his people, and you know what? He is one of the best pastors I've ever seen, but listen, the thing about it is that there's excitement, And you know what? This passage tells us how to grow as a church. And listen, guys, that God says that that churches can grow. And too many times nowadays, you know, churches will say, well, it can't be done. And you know what? This is just the times, and this is, you know what? The truth of the matter is God is the same God today as he was back when churches were growing. And you know what? God is the same God. God is just as powerful. God is just as strong. God can work just like he did back 100 years ago. The truth of the matter is the only thing that's changed is we as Christians. And so this passage that we started off with, I want to focus on that one deal, that I may hear of your affairs. What is Christ hearing of Calvary Baptist Church? And you know, if we turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 talks about a church that was thriving. And Acts chapter 2, and you know, God uses math terms here. And I'll be honest with you, math, you know, I used to think math was my favorite subject. And when I was in school, until I decided to help Cassie with her math class. And, you know, Cassie isn't even all that old. And she was doing the rule of nines, where you take and, you know, use nines for something. I don't know. I helped her with it and then forgot about it promptly. And I'll be honest with you. I was studying that book, and I'm like, you know, I was studying and studying and studying. And finally, a light clicks on, and then I was able to explain it to her. And God uses math terms here. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, I'm going to turn there myself. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, you know what's interesting is that God uses pretty big numbers here. And you start off with about 120 believers, and then he added 3,000. And I'd say that's a pretty good jump. And adding is pretty good. You know what? I'd love to see souls and members added to Calvary Baptist Church. And you know, and I'm sure you would too. But then you go on to Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. The Bible says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." So there we go from addition to multiplication. And you know what? You can get higher numbers faster using multiplication than you can addition. If I were to say, Ralph, I'm going to give you 10 plus $10. Ralph was like, cool. Or you can have the choice of 10 times 10. Well, Ralph, he'd be like, oh, I'll take 10 times 10. It's a higher number. And so the thing about it is that, you know what? God uses multiplication. Now, the thing about it is kind of off on a side note. We don't have time because my sermons are too long. And the devil subtracts, divides, and destroys when you look at it. And so the devil walked about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And listen, one of the key components to God blessing a church is singleness of heart. If you turn back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 and 47. Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. And they continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And listen, the key is they continued with one accord. And you know, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, that she stand fast in one spirit. Division always starts with an attitude rather than our actions. Our spirit is so important because our attitude affects the entire church. And so, listen, we're going to go on and talk about it, but Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You know that we can hide a bad attitude for a while, but the truth of the matter is it's going to come out in our actions towards others eventually. And thank God that we have a church that doesn't have a bad attitude. But I'll be honest with you, you know what? I'm human, and you know what? I've got to constantly guard against attitudes, guard against things that are in my life that shouldn't be. And the truth of the matter is every Christian that's honest says, you know what? We need to constantly get into the Word of God, constantly seek God's will so that we can stay straight and true. And that's only going to happen out of the Word of God. I don't have time to talk about it, but you know what? So many times we say, you know what? Well, I think this is the way it should be. Well, the truth of the matter is that, you know what? Unless it's based out of the Word of God,
You know what? The Word of God is the Word of God is the final authority. It should be our staple. It should be our cornerstone of the way we live our Christian life. And the Bible says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience." Acts 24 and verse 16. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." First of all, that word exercise isn't very pleasant. You know, we're getting towards the New Year's, you know, and everybody says, well, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution, you know, no more donuts for the first 2 hours of the New Year. And anyways, you know, I'm going to get a gym membership and let it go, let it die off in the first 3 weeks and all that other stuff. But you know what? No normal person likes to exercise. And some of us, you know, think that we're too busy to exercise. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Exercise takes work. And the Bible says, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." I tell you what, that is a tall order for a Christian. And to have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Because you know what? I'll be honest with you. Inevitably, I don't know, maybe you don't have this problem, but I do. I'll say something and realize, you know what? I think it just offended somebody. And anyways, but you know what? The truth of the matter is we're supposed to have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. And but it takes work. It takes self-control. And we do so by keeping a right spirit. It's a holy life. Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. It goes on to talk about verse 30 and 32, the Bible through 32. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'll be honest with you, too many times churches across America, I'm so glad it's not this one, but so many times churches across America, you know, we get wrapped up in this bitterness and the clamor and the evil speaking, and you know what, I'll be honest with you, it hinders church growth. And I remember hearing about a church where they were going to change the color of the carpet. And you know what? This half of the auditorium says, you know what? I want blue. This half of the auditorium says, I want fluorescent pink. And you know what? The blues were upset that the pinks wanted the pinks, and the pinks were upset that the other crowd wanted blue. And you know what? Over something so piddly, there's a church split. And now those weren't exactly the colors, but you know what the truth of the matter is too many times churches, they get off of this idea of being like-minded. And what is being like-minded is basically having the mind of Christ. And it is, what would God want in this situation? And I'll be honest with you, we need to make sure that we put these things away. If God has forgiven our sins, then there is no one that we cannot forgive with his help. You know what? I'll be honest with you. Every time I read verses like this, you know, I think of my childhood. And Pastor has met Pastor Paisley. He used to counsel my parents when I was growing up. And I know this is far fetched, but for a lot of you guys to imagine, but I was one of those children that was very difficult. And I remember there are so many stories I could tell at this time. And I remember one time. My mother went to counsel with Pastor Paisley, you know what? This kid got in trouble 31 times today. What do I do with him? And my parents would counsel with him on a regular basis, you know what? In school, our principal gave what he called hacks. And he had this plastic paddle, long paddle. And anytime you got hacks at school, you had to write your name on the paddle. And basically, after a while, I stopped signing my name, and we started putting hash marks. And but here's the thing: is you know what? I think about all the sins that I'd committed when I was growing up, and you know what? All those sins pale in comparison. What God forgave of my sins pale in comparison to anything that anybody else has done to me. And so the truth of the matter is that, you know what? Christ's love is just awesome. And you know what? We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. You know, you can sum up the life of Christ with love, with service, and so many other things. And that is what we are supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to love. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, strife comes into a family or a church when agendas clash. And agendas clash when Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'll be honest with you, this is something that we as individuals, we need to fight, because I'll be honest with you, too many times we take and we say, automatically our human nature comes on, and well, I think that's what should be. And the truth of the matter is we need to make sure that we're not doing that which is right in our own eyes, but that which is right in his eyes. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, the Bible says, be of the same mind towards one another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates. Be not wise in thine own conceits. We need to have the mind of Christ. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've got an illustration here. I used it in Sunday school. For those of you that can't see, I've got God written at the top and others at this side and us on this other side. And you know what tends to happen is this is exactly what, not necessarily our church, but churches across America, the problem with it is that too many times we have, God has his opinion, other people have theirs, and we have ours. And what happens is that too many times those opinions have been separated. Now, what happens is that if we keep this triangle going on, you know, we're going to have strife and contention, and we're going to have troubles, and you know what, we're not going to grow as a church. But here's the thing is, the closer we get to God, I want you to look at this, the closer both sides climb up the triangle, the closer we become to each other. And you know what? The key to a successful Christian life, the key to a successful church is all parties getting as close to God as we possibly can. And then therein is the church that's in Acts. It's the singleness of heart, the having one mind, having one goal. And the truth of the matter is this happens when everybody decides, you know what? We're going to get as close to God. We're going to serve God as much as we can. We're going to do God's will. And the truth of the matter is that like verse 27 says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other, and the more we agree. If one travels towards God and the other maintains his or her opinion, we have strife. We need to all agree with God and his word. This is why, I'll be honest with you, this is what sets Baptist aside, is the fact that we believe that the final authority is this book right here. And I'll be honest with you, if we maintain that stance right there, that this is the pattern for life, this is our standards, our convictions come from this book right here. What we think to be right comes from this book right here. What we think to be wrong comes from this book right here. I'll be honest with you, too many times we say, you know what, or too many times the world has said, well, you know what, hey, listen, it's okay, you know what, God calls it a sin, but you know what, it's not so bad. Truth of the matter is, you know what, at that point in time, we have strife and contention because we have wandered away from what God has said is right and wrong. You know what? If we're going to, I'll be honest with you, churches can grow today. You know what? This church is evident of that right now. You know what? I tell you what, we had a record-breaking attendance here at Calvary Baptist Church. You know what? We had more in that veteran service than we have in a long time. And the truth of the matter is that is proof that God is still working today. And you know what? I'm so excited to be a part of a church that's like-minded. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And you know what? God's given the increase here in this church. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, your husbandry, ye are God's building. The thing about it is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. You know what? We as Calvary Baptist Church, you know what? It's not one person that gets the glory. One person says, you know what? Hey, listen, I tell you what. I was the one that did thus and so. Well, I was the one that did thus. No, the thing about it is, you know what this verse talks about? It's God that gives the increase. And you know what? Here's the thing is, if we try and rely on our own talents, if we try and rely on our own abilities, if we try and rely on hey, look at how awesome I am, then you know what? The increase comes from God. It doesn't come from us. We need to be striving up. We need to be striving as a church, as individuals, as parents, as soul winners, as Sunday school teachers, as ushers, as you name it, striving up that triangle towards God, so that you know what, we can have oneness of mind. And you know what? Listen, it's not us that gives the increase. It's God. And I've got an illustration here. Years ago in the World's Fair, two draft horses were pulling an amazing amount of weight in a competition. One horse pulled 9,000 pounds, while another pulled just over 8,000. After the competition, those in charge thought that it would be interesting to yoke these two giant horses together and see how much weight they could pull. Everyone assumed that together they would pull about 17,000 pounds. But when the horses were hooked up to the 17,000-pound weight, they pulled it easy. The weight increased until those two horses together were pulling over 30,000 pounds. While difficult to explain, this phenomenon is known as synergy. The total of two is greater than the sum of the individual parts. I'll be honest with you. We need to ask ourselves, are we a part of synergy? Are we synergered? Are we sin? No, I can't pronounce it. Are we synergered? Synergic or allergic? Do we bring strife and contention? It took me a while to spit it out. I'm not going to repeat it. And do we bring strife and contention, or do we pitch in to help with the ministry? Do we have the mind of Christ? And for Lillian, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I underestimated my sermon. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and we thank you so much to be a part of a church like this. And dear Heavenly Father, it's exciting to have a church family that loves you, and a church family that we can joke around together, but dear Heavenly Father, also to pitch into the ministry. And dear Heavenly Father, it's so exciting to see what you're doing with our church. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray to just help us to not lose this momentum, help us to not lose this excitement, but help us to realize that it's you that gives the increase. And we thank you so much. And dear Heavenly Father, it's so exciting to be a part of a church that's a light in a very dark world. I pray to just help us to be a witness. Help us to love others, and help us to serve you. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Pastor.